future was bright and clear. She planned for a wedding day. Her daddy would hold back tears, giving her hand away. But now all her hope and fear in a cradle lay, 'cause a baby came. Like this many years ago, as she held him close, she had come to know that a mother's heart could not let him go, and she now knows why. The future was bright and hope and a promise made. The light of the world was near. Choirs of angels sang. Heaven's exalted King in a manger lay, 'cause a baby came and everything changed. Thank you.
Good morning. Merry Christmas. So good to see you this morning. Let's stand together. We're going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory as we begin in worship this morning. It is Christmas. It's so good to see you. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're our honored guest. Thank you for choosing to worship with us on this special Sunday morning. There's a QR code on the pew front in front of you and also on the screen. We just ask you to take a moment, scan the QR code, we get to know you a little bit better. At the end of the service, we have a really special gift for you out here in the Welcome Center. We also want to welcome those who are watching online this morning, our 8:30 service. But you know what? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, we're here to celebrate Him this morning. Amen? And we're going to tell it on the mountain because He is Lord. Amen? Let's sing it together. Come on, church. Here we go.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere.
Amen. Let's praise Him this morning, church. Amen. Oh, that's good singing. You may be seated.
You excited to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, this morning we are going to light our last two Advent candles, and I'd like to invite the Couch family to come forward as we read from Luke chapter 1. We're going to read Mary's song from verses 46 through 55, Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices and God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." We're so thankful that you guys joined us this morning to light the candles. Can we pray together? Father, thank you for this time. Another Christmas season, God, that we can come together and be thankful for your love, to be thankful for your Son who displayed that love on a cross. For today, God, we celebrate you becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Today, God, we celebrate all the gifts that you have given us. And we focus our attention on your kingdom, even more so than we do the things that we traditionally do as families. God, we pray that you will bless this service as you already have. God, and may every word spoken, may every thought that passes through our minds be glorifying to you. God, we trust you and we surrender all of our praise sincerely and humbly to you. And God, we lift up Pastor Todd as he comes to bring the message in just a few minutes, Lord, that you would bless him and speak through him, and may the words that you've given him speak to our hearts, God, and reveal something about you to us that we need to hear. God, we love you and we trust you, and we surrender all praise, honor, and glory to the holy name of Jesus Christ, our King, and all of God's people agree and said, Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful message and song. Thank you, choir, for leading so beautifully. And our drummer boys, what a beautiful way to begin this service. We are so grateful that you have come to spend part of your Christmas with us here at the Forks. We pray as you came into this place that you felt the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord. And I am so grateful that we are a church that prays and asks for the Spirit of God to be in this place. And maybe you're here today, and even though it's Christmas, you're struggling in one area of your life or another, or maybe you're concerned about a family member or a friend, or you're going through a circumstance right now and you don't know what to do. I want to invite you, if you feel led today, to come to this altar and pray. You may kneel, you can stand. You can stand from your seat. If you're watching today on live stream, you can pray wherever you may be. But I want to invite you at this time to come join me as we lift up our prayers together. Would you come pray with me? Pray together. Father, thank you so much for your sweet spirit that's in this place. We are humbled by your presence and we are grateful for your love. God, I just want to thank you so much for this church, for everything you have done and continue to do, and Father, for everything that you're going to do in the future. We give you all glory and praise. And it's our heart's desire, Lord, to keep in step with your Holy Spirit, that we would never run ahead of you, nor lag behind you, or get out of step with you. Keep us in perfect step with your Spirit. Father, on this Christmas Eve, we are so mindful of what you did when you sent your Son Jesus into the world in the form of a tiny baby. Father, that baby would grow in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and man, and then would die a criminal's death on an old rugged cross to save us from our sin, to take our place, to take our punishment. Words cannot express our gratitude for everything you've done. Father, I pray for folks gathered at this altar, people praying from their seats, people praying hundreds of miles away. And I pray, God, you would meet each one right where they are in their grief, in their suffering, in their pain, in their sickness, in their worry, in their fear, in their depression, in their loneliness, in their guilt, in their past. God, I pray for folks grieving the loss of loved ones. Lord, we pray for the Badgett family and the loss of Tony, and ask that you would comfort them. Father, we pray for Susan Martin and the Martin family and the loss of Ken. Father, we pray for others who are grieving, the Jeannie Perry and her sister Debbie Goley and the loss of their mother. And Father, we pray for so many who just need your touch today. Would you comfort them, God, and strengthen them and love them in your arms. Father, we just pray for marriages that need to be healed, families that need to be restored. And Lord, we pray for peace on earth and peace in Israel. We pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would just touch the hearts of people maybe that are watching or here that have never placed their faith and trust in you. We know that you tell us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And Father, I pray someone would come to know you today. Our Christians would be renewed in their faith, God, and they would come back to you and understand that you love them and that you will forgive them. So, Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would continue to move through this service. Pray that you would continue to sing and play through our musicians and instrumentalists, and that you would speak through your word and your servant. And Lord, I pray when we have our time of decision that commitments, decisions would be made for eternity. And Father, we'll just give you all the praise and the glory. Bless each and every one here, God. Bless them in a special way. For it is in the strong and holy name of Jesus I pray. Amen. I also thank my mom for doing a beautiful job playing the piano today as well. Thank you, Mom, for doing that. This morning, if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, and this very familiar story. And I hope that when you read it, you'll be reminded of how blessed we truly are. And after the reading of God's Word, our choir will be coming back to lead us. And thank you all for being here and leading so beautifully. Begin with verse 1, Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Is for us. Do not
Thank you all. What a beautiful, beautiful message and song. Again, thank you so much for being here today and allowing the Spirit of God to be in this place. If you're a guest today, we're so thankful you're here worshiping. Maybe you're here with family celebrating Christmas. We welcome you. And also to warn you, I normally start with a little joke to get us ready to hear more important things. Part of my Christmas gift to you today is I don't have a joke. Are y'all excited about that? Yes, yes. I thought y'all would like that, but I do have a funny story, a true story. So I'm sharing the truth with you. A couple of weeks ago, we took our Forks 412 group. This is our 18 to 29-year-olds on an outing. We went to get something to eat and then to go bowling. We had a great time. We tried to go to Wings and Rings, but the line was too long, and we didn't get seated, but we did finally make our way over to Chick-fil-A. That's always a good go-to at Chick-fil-A. So as we were there at Chick-fil-A, as we had a good meal together, fellowshipping around the table, I saw someone that I knew that I actually grew up in this church and now married with a baby or two and a young child. And it was so good that I said hello and waved. Well, when we were getting ready to walk out of Chick-fil-A, she came back with her young child. And I said, it's so great to see you. And her little one that she was holding, her precious little boy, came up to me. And she was holding him. And he went, Merry Christmas. I mean, it was just the sweetest little thing. I said, oh, well, Merry Christmas. And then he leaned in. He was leaning in for a hug or some sugar, and so I said, oh, that's so sweet. And I leaned in, and that little boy leaned in, and he bit my face. That's a true story. I mean, he bit my face and kind of caught me off guard. I kind of laughed a little bit, and her mother said, oh, he does that. That's his love bite. I said, okay, I wasn't quite expecting that, but that was, got a love bite for Christmas. And maybe you've been bitten by something or somebody recently, and maybe you've been bitten by the craziness of what's going on in the world, or maybe you've been bitten by someone or a situation that's caused you pain. But we can laugh now. It wasn't too funny at the time. It was cute. Just for a minute. But anyway, you know, it just seems like yesterday that my parents were taking me to the mall to see Santa. I remember the thrill of going to the mall. Do any of y'all remember going to the mall to see Santa? It seems like yesterday I was taking my children to the mall. It was yesterday I took them. No, it wasn't yesterday. And I remember as I did and as my children did, they sat in Santa's lap and they were asked that question that thousands and thousands and thousands of times has been asked, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas this year after asking if you've been a good boy or a good girl? What do you want for Christmas? And there are a lot of people that have given a lot of answers to what they would like to have for Christmas. Some have been mentioned in songs before. Remember, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. And remember, I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. A hippopotamus is all I want. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. All I want is some hippopotamuses. Y'all, you're singing that right now in your head, aren't you? And then in 1994, Mariah Carey had that hit song, All I Want for Christmas is You. And those were some things. And I remember as a child going again and saying, here's some things that I want for Christmas. And it brings back so many memories. And actually, I want to show you all some of the things that I asked for when I was a child. I actually still have some of these items, and I want to show you some of the things that I wanted for Christmas. I wanted a train, and maybe you wanted a train. Maybe you wanted the electric train set. Wanted a train, but you know what, I really don't play with this train anymore, even though it was special, but I really don't play with that train anymore. And then I remember I wanted this doll called Pulsar. I mean, I was into my G.I. Joes, and is Pulsar in there? Yeah, there's Pulsar. Pulsar was this guy that if you pushed in his back, you could see his heart pump and his blood flow. And then if you raised his face, you could see his brains. And so I loved Pulsar. As you can see, I got a little rough with him and broke him. And I really don't play with Pulsar anymore. But at the time, I had to have Pulsar. That's all I want for Christmas is Pulsar. You can see his pulse right there. And then I stepped up my game, and I started asking for some things that were a little more special. And you can see it's falling apart. But this was called Shoot 'Em Up. And this guy would stand up, this cowboy, and I had a pistol, and if you hit him right here in his heart, he would collapse and fall backward. And so I would draw with Shoot 'Em Up. And there we would face off in the street. And if I had good aim, I could knock him down. But as you can see, it's torn up, and I really don't play Shoot 'Em Up anymore. And I stepped up my game, and some of y'all may remember this, and there's Pulsar's arm right there, if you want to find Pulsar. But then my brother and I couldn't wait to get this digital basketball game. Do y'all remember this? I mean, you could sit there and play basketball on this little digital game, and just a little dot. We've come a long way with NBA 2K. But this little game was the coolest thing. I was like, man, I've got to have it. As you can see, it broke, and I no longer play with that little game anymore. And then I remember when I've shared my brother Tim. I've got three older brothers, and the brother closest in age was my brother Tim. And I remember when I got of age, he said, "You need to quit playing with those dolls and get out here and start playing basketball." And I like playing with my G.I. Joes and my Pulsars. And we got a junior pro goal at our house in our backyard. And so and then I asked for a basketball for Christmas, and I've loved playing this game with basketball, and you know, this ball is kind of flat, and there goes my mic. That's why you learn to dribble with your left hand in case you lose your mic. But I remembered how special the basketball and the basketball goal was. And you know what, I was going to say, I don't play with that anymore. I still play occasionally when my wife allows me to play basketball, because it can break fingers and bones, especially when you get old. But I have to tell you, the greatest gift that I got when I was 12 years old, y'all want to see the best gift I ever got? Huh. It's not in there. It's not in there. The greatest gift I ever got was when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart at 12 years old. It was the best Christmas gift ever, ever. And you know what? This gift will not break. It will not, I won't outgrow it. He won't stop working. He promises to be with us always. Absolutely no comparison. The best gift, the greatest gift, is when I ask Jesus to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And I don't know what you've asked for Christmas, or if the question was posed to you, what do you want for Christmas this year? What you might say. But I pray that you would receive this gift that has meant the world to me, that I continue to be actively involved with, not tucked away in an old box in my garage or not stored away in a storage closet somewhere, but that you would receive Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, God saw that the world was in need. As a matter of fact, he saw that the world had been stained with sin. He saw that it had been dirtied by difficult circumstances and bad decisions. He saw that it had been burdened and broken. And so he sent the best gift, the greatest gift into the world through Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, the gift that keeps on giving the whole year long, is Jesus Christ. And he sent Jesus into the world, and that night when the shepherds were out tending their flocks, he sent Gabriel, the angel, to come and give this wonderful announcement. And I don't know what you've asked for, what you're wanting for Christmas, but maybe, just maybe, you are wanting what the angel pronounced and announced to these shepherds. And I pray tonight or today that you would find peace and love, that you would find peace and love. In verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." They saw this glorious being, this light shining around them, and they were scared. They were terrified. There are a lot of things we're scared of today, aren't there? We're scared of getting sick. We're scared of dying. We're scared about the future. We're scared for our safety. We're scared about being alone. We are scared about so many things. And I think about Jesus when he would grow up, that his disciples were scared because he was talking about leaving them. This was before going to the cross. And in John chapter 14, verse 27, in a verse we shared a few weeks ago, Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, and I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So I pray this morning, maybe what you need in your life is some peace and some love. I think about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "God is love." And then in verse 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out or casts out fear." And he's referring to the love of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. It should remove any type of fear from our lives. We don't have to worry about punishment because of what Christ has done in our lives. And maybe you're here today and you're desiring this Christmas, all you want is peace. There was a survey taken at a mall where shoppers who were Christmas shopping were posed the question, "Where would you like to see peace this Christmas?" One responded that, "I'd like to have peace with my parents and with my ex and with my kids." Another was asked, they said, "I need peace of heart and peace of mind." Yet another said, if I don't find peace soon, my marriage is over." And maybe that's where you are today. You need peace in your life. You need love. Did you know that fear hinders peace and love, and it obstructs our faith? And so I pray today that you would find peace. Well, maybe that's all you want for Christmas. I just want peace and love to be in my life and in my family, in my home. Everywhere I go, I want peace and love. I recently talked to someone that shared with me sad news. They shared that they haven't had peace in their home for the last 10 years. And as they began to pour out their heart to me and share, I listened with a loving ear, but with a broken heart for this family. And I said, "Well, what are you all doing to to change things. And you've heard that said before. The definition of insanity is when we keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And maybe you're here today and you've been doing the same thing over and over. And so I said, look, life's too short for you all not to have peace in your marriage and in your home. And a verse that you've heard me share to challenge them, I said, please look up Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added or given unto you. I said, until Jesus Christ is in first place in your marriage and in your home, you may not survive. But through the love and the peace that Christ brings, you can make it. And I prayed with them, and I prayed that God would restore their family and reconcile their differences. Maybe all you want for Christmas today is some peace and love. Or maybe what you want for Christmas today is purpose. The angel would go on to say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. What was this good news? The good news is God's love and God's grace. His abundant love and his grace. And maybe you're here today and you don't feel like there's any purpose for your life. The devil's been telling you you're too bad. You've made too many mistakes. Nobody likes you. You are this or you are that. Don't listen to the devil's lies. The good news is this, God loves you. God loves you dearly. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. We read in 1 John 4:9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. And so we know that we are loved today. Don't leave here thinking nobody loves you, because God loves you unconditionally and sacrificially. The good news is this, that God forgives you. Maybe you think you've done something unforgivable. I can never be forgiven for some of the things I've done. Maybe when you were younger, you made some decisions you regret. Maybe you've done some things that you're embarrassed by. Maybe you hope no one finds out about this or about that. I want you to know God forgives you. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us or cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great to know God forgives us? But then, as the choir sang so beautifully, the good news is that God is with us. Repeatedly in Scripture, Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. At the end of that great commission in Matthew 28:20, he said, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. When Isaiah the prophet prophesied about Jesus coming into the world, in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Know that you are never alone. God promises to always be with you and to be with me. This should cause us great joy. It should cause us to go through life with the joy, knowing what the Lord has done for you and what he's done for me. And I pray today that you would have that joy and you would want to share that joy. I went the other day to do some last minute shopping at Ollie's. Have y'all been to Ollie's on the west side? I know some of you have because I saw you there. And so I've been there about one other time, but they've got a little bit of everything, you know. And so I was there in Ollie's visiting with some folks, and then when I got up to the line to check out, the lady asked me if I don't remember exact words, but like, are you an Ollie's member or club member? You have an Ollie's card or whatever? And I said, no, I don't. She goes, would you like one? I said, no, not today. She said, well, if you ever should want to be a member, you come find me, and I will be happy to sign you up to be. Now, I want you to look for me, and I am happy to make you a member of us. So she was going on and on. I kind of laughed, and she said, sir, I'm sorry. I just try to bring some joy to people. She goes, so many people are coming in here, and they're in a frantic pace. And she said, I feel like that's my job, to try to bring some joy to people. And I said, well, I think that's wonderful that you're trying to bring joy to people. That's exactly why Jesus came to the world, and that's what we're supposed to do. I pray as you celebrate Christmas tonight or tomorrow with your family, that you would go in with the right heart and the right frame of mind instead of dreading it. Make it your mission. I'm going to bring some joy. I mean, I went over to Dairy Queen yesterday morning for breakfast over in Versailles, and they asked for my order, and I gave them my order, and I bet most of you can guess what I ordered there. And as I got my biscuits and gravy and the sausage cheese biscuits to take back home, the lady on the other end recognized my voice. So the whole time she's talking in a British accent. Then I get around to the window, and she has on her lighted necklace and her reindeer antlers. And she goes, hello, love. Would you like a spoil tea and a crumpet? And so we started joking. But she had to be working here during the holiday season, and she was spreading joy. And may we be challenged to do the same, that we would spread joy. The good news was that God loves us, He forgives us, He's with us, and that the good, great joy is that we are to spread it to others for what He's done for us. But then lastly, it says in verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, our Messiah, the Lord. And maybe you want for Christmas this year power. You want power. What do I mean by that? We all need power because we can't save ourselves. Did you know that? As hard as you try, you can't save yourself. We need salvation. Maybe you're here today and you need salvation from your past and from your guilt. I think about Romans 3:23, Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then I also think about Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Did you hear that? Even though we are guilty, even though we are still sinners, Christ died for us. A Savior has been born to you. Or maybe you're here today and you need salvation from an addiction. Jesus said in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Did you know He can set you free from your addiction today? You've been trying on your own strength, but through God's power, He can deliver you and save you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, can I be saved from eternal death into eternal life? The answer is yes. We read in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10:9, that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, but thanks to God for His indescribable gift. We have been given the greatest gift this world has ever known through Jesus Christ. And you're either going to receive this gift, or you're going to leave it in a box or in a storage area or in a barn, and you're not going to receive this gift that God brought into the world in the form of a tiny baby. I want to share this testimony in closing. Last Wednesday at our prayer meeting, we have a great time of praying, but I felt led of the Lord to do it a little bit differently. We normally will pray through some scriptures on the screen, and we pray. We actually pray at a prayer meeting, and we just have a special time of being still and knowing that He is God, and we go through a passage of scripture. We pray through it, but this past Wednesday, I knew it was close to Christmas and felt led to pass the mic and do some testimony time that people could share. There were some beautiful testimonies and people asking for prayer and giving God the glory. And I've got some I could share, and I'll wait for another day. But I want to share with you one of the testimonies that one of our members stood up and they confessed that they had battled alcoholism in their life and said it had gotten so bad that they were blistered on the inside, and went on to say that they suffered from a PTSD and that I guess they were trying to self-medicate. And they went on to share that they're not opposed to 12-step programs, because we know God can use a 12-step program, but they said, but I only needed to take one step, and that was to Jesus Christ. And said, when I took that step to Jesus, He delivered me and saved his marriage and saved his life and got him on the right track. And I'm so grateful. For that's the power of our Savior to deliver someone even when they feel like there's no hope. And maybe that's where you are today. You feel like there's no hope. I can't be delivered. I can't be saved. Yes, you can. Wouldn't it be awesome this Christmas if you would accept this gift? That's like somebody shopping for hours and hours and hours just to try to find that perfect gift, and they give it to you and you say, I don't want that, take it back. What? I spent hours, fought the crowd, did all this stuff. You don't need, take it back. How hurtful. What do you think it does to God when he gives us his son Jesus and we go, I don't want it, take that gift back. Let me tell you, all these toys were good for a season. But I outgrew them. I don't need them anymore. And all I need is Jesus Christ and his faithfulness and his promise to be with us. And that's what you need today. It would be my joy, if you don't know him personally, to pray with you. And all you have to do is come and say, I want Jesus in my heart. And I will pray with you a simple prayer to get you started. Maybe you're a Christian and you become laxed in your faith. You become negative and critical and all the time conflict and drama. That's not what God wants for you. He wants you and me and us to have peace in our lives and love. Won't you receive him? He's the Prince of Peace today. Or maybe you're here today and you're looking for a church home. This is not a club for righteous. We are a field hospital for sin, sick, and hurting. We'd love to welcome you into this family where we can grow together and support each other, love each other, encourage one another. What do you want for Christmas this year? I pray you would want Jesus Christ and his love. May we pray together. I pray right now, Lord, in the stillness of this moment, that if there are any men or women or boys or girls, young people here, and they've never accepted the greatest gift this world has ever known through Jesus Christ. You are a gift, an indescribable gift, that they would invite you to come in today, that they would pray in their own words, Dear God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart. I believe you died on the cross to save me. I love you, Lord, and I thank you for loving me and saving my soul. Lord, if someone could pray that simple prayer and mean it, may they not be ashamed to come today and acknowledge you before people, so that you will not be ashamed to acknowledge us when we come before our Father in heaven. Lord, maybe there's some Christians that they've grown cold in their faith and you've not been a priority, and as a result, their family is suffering, their work is suffering, their life is suffering. And they know they need to come back to you. May someone renew their vow of commitment and renew their faith today in Christ. But Lord, maybe there's someone looking for a church home, a church family. We are not a perfect church. I am not a perfect pastor. We are not a perfect staff, but we serve a perfect God. And Lord, I pray that there would be some folks who would want to unite on this Christmas Eve with a loving church family. Oh God, however your Holy Spirit leads, may you give the boldness for people to come. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to invite you, if you're in this place, to stand at this time, and we're going to sing a hymn of commitment, a hymn of decision. It would be my joy and my honor to pray with you about your decision. Won't you come?
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, for the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore.
So thankful today that we are taking communion, and if you're here and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to partake of these holy elements as we remember what Christ has done. You don't have to be a member of this church. We just want you to be a member of the family of God. There's a beautiful passage found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And if you did not receive a cup when you came in, we have some ushers in the back. Just lift your hand and they'll bring you a cup. But again, everyone is invited to partake. But I am so grateful again for the body of Christ. I'm thankful that this bread symbolizes his body that was nailed to an old cross to save us from our sin. And I would like at this time to give a blessing for the bread. Lord, how can we say thank you enough for what you did for us, not only coming in the form of a beautiful baby, but again that you grow to be a man at age 33, you would die a humiliating criminal's death on a cross, the only perfect person ever to live, would die a brutal death out of love for us to save us from our sin. And I just pray, oh God, that you would bless this bread as we eat it and remember that great sacrifice that you made. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. Jesus said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after they ate the bread, they took a cup. May we pray together. Father, this cup, symbolic of your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, I pray, God, that you would bless it and we would ever be mindful of what you did for us. And Lord, as a result, that we would show love and kindness to others. You tell us in Ephesians 4:32 to be kind and compassionate to others, forgiving one another just as in Christ you forgave us. So, Father, may we show your kindness and compassion and love and forgiveness to others as you forgive us. And we give you all praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me. I want to thank you so much for being here today, sharing part of your Christmas with us here at the Forks. I hope you have a blessed and Merry Christmas with your loved ones, family, and friends. I hope you will come back and worship with us again real soon. We will not be having our midweek Wednesday service this week, but I hope you'll join us next Sunday. But thank you so much, church, for allowing the Holy Spirit to be in this place. I'm going to invite you to stand at this time. We're going to sing a closing song. And then I'm going to ask our deacon of the week, John, if you would come in a moment and pray for us.
Let's sing this verse, Angels from the Realms.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful and grateful for your Son, Lord, who was birthed this day, Father God, Lord, that we celebrated just this day, Lord. But Father, we thank you so much, Father, for your provisions for him through the years, Lord, that you show your faithfulness, Father. And we pray, Lord, that we would show our faithfulness, Father, by continuing to be obedient to your word, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.